and gentlemen, great pleasure that you're participating at our Q1 call. May I start immediately on page three with the executive summary? Yeah, you surely have seen the presentation or gone through the presentation. I'm not reading out every line, but I think you see a strong earnings improvement, particularly against the last 12 months in the special, in particular to the Q1 of 2014. It's not a stellar improvement and not a stellar performance, but is, I would say, a quite good improvement on the background that we are still in a very difficult market situation, that we are still seeing overcapacities, that we are just recovering from price decreases. We told you in November when we did our last call that due to the oil price crash, polyester prices crashed, and. Based on that, we show a 5% higher turnover, 23 million more. Of course, we cannot compare, and we also guided you in November or even in March then that you cannot extrapolate the fourth quarter, which was excellent, very excellent, with almost 16% EBITDA margin, which we hope to do again in the fourth quarter of this year. First comes first quarter. We see a much, much better, again, a much better product mix driven by the availability now of 100% capacity of our new TENCEL line, which, by the way, is sold out, and a slightly higher sales volume, just 3,000 tons more against the 235,000 of Q1 2014. That's driven to a certain extent by, I would say, we had a break in SPV for a couple of days, taking out some thousand tons, and we are really, I would say, against the last 12 months, we have significantly improved our consistency and quality issues. We had some quality issue due to some pulping issues in L&F and in SPV, and we have nicely, I would say, recovered on that. Very important, I think, for our core business, which is 97% fiber. Fiber sales are even up 9%. Robert then will work out on what the reasons for that. As I mentioned, the Lenzing fiber site is fully now available with 67,000 tons, and even if we did not make the full capacity usage of the 67,000 in the first three months, we did it just, by the way, in April, which is very good indication because the budget-wise, we are a little bit lower even. Earnings, surely we had some basic effect coming from lower EBIT and earnings per share, as well as net income from 12 months ago, almost 30%+ on the EBITDA to almost 60 million. I'm not going now all that through, and 27 on the EBITDA, that's more than 60%, 0.60 on the share price. I'm sure that, as I mentioned, first quarter is first week, very weak, first week of January, then 10 days of more or less whole China closed because of Chinese New Year. It's not possible to recover that then in March. By the way, we see good sales in volume-wise in April and in May, and I think second quarter then will be quite different. To a big portion, this results and this strong improvement is also driven by now the full availability and impact of the Lenzing Excellence program, which should be and will be increased from 137 of last year to, I would say, close to 160 this year. We are very well on tour and in budget on that program. Free cash flow is up, even if we have one caveat on the working capital, but on that, Thomas will work out. As you know, the AGM approved 1 month ago the dividend of 1 euro. I'm coming to page four. We tried to phase in and to show you the significant increases in prices for sales prices for cotton. I'm not going through, but surprisingly, cotton is quite stable. No surprise on the background that, as I come then immediately next page, on the background that we will maybe see up to 10% less cotton harvest due to much, much reduced cotton planting in the US and in China. And on the right side, on top, you see that viscose prices after the Chinese New Year have nicely recovered, almost as of today, 12,500. So we come from 11,300, 11,200. That's a nice increase. It was very, very important. I think even the Chinese realized that it cannot go on like that. So that's almost 15 cents. You will not find that much in the first quarter. This is mostly the 168 is mostly driven by the dollar and by mix improvement, not yet by price increases. Nevertheless, if you compare the 161 with the 168 now in the first quarter, it's 7 cents. You know that 1 cent is 10 million. We are not saying yet this is already the light at the end of the tunnel, but it is a much significant, more significant improvement or price increase than the ones we have seen in 2013 or in 2014 after the Chinese New Year. And let's see if that would continue and would be sustainable into July, August at that level, or even a little bit below or a little bit higher, who knows, then that could really set a new pricing point, at least for 2015. And on the right side, on the low, you see a quite significant improvement on the polyester. That may be the most important umbrella and supporter of viscose prices, because of course we see a significant higher price, 160, 170 on the viscose, 111, 110 on the polyester, and it makes a big difference, of course. And we can argue, of course, whatever we want, how much better we are than polyester. If we have 50 cents price difference, that's very, very difficult to argue. I'm now coming to page 5. You see that the cotton stock on the chart below right side is still not only very high, it has further increased in 2014. But if we look on the top chart, you see, I would say, really a significant change in production, down almost 2.5 million, which is just reflecting the 10% reduction in planting and in cotton fields available. Unfortunately, as we see it, and ICAC, the production or the consumption of cotton is not moving up that much. And we just had a Chinese delegation today here in Lenzing, and we were checking, cross-checking. Yeah, they see no strong increase of cotton consumption in China, and that is reflecting actually just a 3%, a 1% or 1.5% increase in consumption, and that of course is the reason why the stock, the yellow graph, is coming down only by 500,000. So that's not that much, but nevertheless, psychologically, it has an impact, because the Chinese stock percentage is going down, because the Chinese definitely, as already announced and there were public information, will not import 2 or 3 million tons of cotton from the US or from India. They have set a limit of 900,000, so close to 1 million, and let's see whether they are even doing this 1 million. It could even be much, much less, and that's the reason why the rest of the world, which counts for 75% of the cotton harvest, whether even this 900,000 will be imported. So if you just look on the last line, rest of the world, 56% actually is very, very low. on a yearly plant of cotton, 50 is a minimum, 56 or 60% is not overdone. So that really could lead also to some kind of shortages, but on the other side, we have enough stock. So I'm now handing over to Robert. He will give you an insight into the cellulosic business.
Yeah, thank you very much, Peter. Welcome, everybody on the phone. The competitive viscose environment is quite dynamic these days. Between the last quarter and this quarter, there's no significant change in demand. We still see a volume demand, despite what Peter mentioned earlier, the lower polyester and cotton prices, and definitely also despite the Chinese New Year, which of course has a major impact. Always in January, February, just before the Chinese New Year, you'll see a drop in average prices. So we've seen this also this year. The people are trying to clean up the inventory, so some of the volumes are being dumped. So therefore, January, February, we're facing with very low viscose prices. But as you can see, they strongly recovered after the Chinese New Year. And at the same time, the inventory of viscose stabilizer came down significantly. We do still see there are some overcapacities. The overcapacities are reducing in viscose. That should help us. Certain new capacities that were under construction have been postponed because of the weak demand or the weak pricing, as well as stricter credit control. But also there have been some capacities being limited or even forced to be shut down because China in certain areas is more strict on implementing existing environmental laws. And we'll see the impact of that in the next couple of months. On the dissolving wood pulp, we see that the prices remain definitely below last year's level, 865 down to 800. We currently, in the last couple of weeks, see a small increase, but only small because there's already some anti-dumping in China, as you know. So far, there's no decision or no better insight about the anticipated or the discussed second phase anti-dumping regulation in China. So we'll continue to see how that will evolve. We stay very aggressive on the marketing side, definitely on our specialty products. We need to improve our mix both in having more modal and more Tencel in the market. You have heard already in the past that we've been really promoting the new Tencel plant. We've done it the last time during a very big home textile show in Frankfurt earlier this year. And also last year we had a big push on Tencel and denim, and that's really kicking in right now. So you'll see a lot of the Tencel volumes that just after the startup we were dumping in some non-specified applications are now really moving into higher value applications, specifically such as denim. And almost every big denim producer has denim in their collections. And those garments, as they hit the trade right now, our sales go up. Home textiles was a focus for us also because of modal. So we'll see a big drive right now of Chinese collections with Tencel and modal in Asia as well as the rest of the world. Turkey is a very important market for us and will remain an important market for us. We've increased our presence there with additional technical service. There is a trend from the retailers to buy closer to home on specialty products. They want to have lower quantities and therefore more frequent delivery times. So you'll see more Western retailers buying closer to home. That's why Turkey is a key market for the Western European market. In denim also, we are working and positioning ourselves with premium brands, such as the Coolmax brand name. Last year, we had the Lycra Dual Effects. This year, we are building on the strength of the Coolmax brand name to really drive innovation in the segment. On slide 8, we are pushing very strong the knits. I reported about that already in the past. The Tencel A100 and Tencel LF are premium Tencel products that are not easy to be placed in the market. There's a lot of development needed there. So the kickoff has been done end of last year, early this year, and we continue to push that. This year we added a very low Decitex, a very lightweight micro A100 to our portfolio in the trade. This was very warmly welcomed, and we've seen on smaller levels, we've seen an increase in demand. On the new business development activities, there are two areas, filtration and technical textiles, that are hard to get into. You're talking about longer qualification period of up to a few years even. But at the same time, they are important for the mid to long-term health of Lenzing, because these are end users where the price sensitivity is much, much less. And also the cyclability that you see in apparel doesn't exist in these applications. So we're making good progress on positioning Tencel for filtration applications. And last week during the TechTech Steel in Frankfurt, we positioned our Tencel in a botanic shoe concept, where various parts of an athletic shoe with a major retailer, with a major brand, were presented for the first time. And it got a lot of interest from various parts of the world. Brand cooperations with Lidl and Promodal, but also still the wipes business remain very important for us, and we'll see further growth there as well. So herewith I hand over to Thomas Wiegler.
Last but not least, I want to give you quickly, because I assume that most of you have read through our interim report and through the figures. If you look on page 9, you see that on the revenue side, year over year, we have improved significantly by 5.1% to an overall revenue of 474.6 million. If we only compare that the fiber, non-woven and textile revenue, we have even a more significant increase of 9.3% from 367.4 million to 401.6 million. In this revenue split, you also see the already better product mix, where 16% Modal kept stable, but increase to more dental specialties of 25% compared last year 19%, but also this is due to the new jumbo line and more volume, and less Lenzing viscose. Instead of 65%, the split is 59%. Also interesting what was mentioned before by Peter with the comparable average sales price. The average sales price is 1.68 euro per kilo, but this is including or is before hedging, as you all know, and you also see that later on page 14, we have 24 million hedging negative effect, currency hedging negative effect in the revenues. So if you subtract this from the 401 million, you will get to 377 and divide it through the 230,000 tons production. You come to an average year-to-year comparison sales price of 1.58 euro per kilo. So you see 2 cents improvement compared to the quarter one 2014. So far to the revenue breakdown, if you go to the earnings, and the EBITDA on page 10, you see that we have a significant growth rate in all in the EBITDA, where we have achieved an increase of 28.7%. So ending at the quarter one 2015 with roughly 60 million EBITDA, which is 12.6% EBITDA margin. If you compare the EBIT, also there a significant increase of 61.3%, heading to a 5.7% EBIT margin. The same counts for EBT, so also an increase quarter over quarter. And for the net profit, where we increased 150 15.3% and ending with a net profit of 16.6 equals a margin of 3.5%. This is, as already mentioned, on one hand side due to better product mix, but on the other hand side also to cost efficiency. If we go to the OPEX breakdown on page 11, you will quite see that if we compare the total OPEX of the quarter one, which is 437 million compared to the 430 last year, it's a slight increase of 1.5, but take into consideration our production volume increased by 4.2%, mainly driven to the new Tensil, but our costs only increased by 1.5%. So this is clearly also due to our excellence and efficiency savings. If we compare then a little bit line by line the last column, the year-over-year comparison, you see dissolving wood pulp increased by 7%. Yeah, one part is clearly the 4.2% volume increase, but the other part also to take into consideration there is the foreign exchange translation, because it was really for us the FX effect is huge and makes our pulp in euro roughly 80 to 90 euro more expensive, the part what we are buying externally. Key chemicals increased also, but there it's mainly driven by caustic soda and carbon disulfide, CS2 increase, price increase year over year, and energy a little bit cheaper. So this is the material costs, which in total with 1.8% also increased less than what our production volume increased. If you look to total personnel expenses, you see it increased by 2.3%. But as you know, we have an wage and salary inflation increase of normally 3%, and we managed only to grow by 2.3%. And also there we have a foreign exchange effect. And also there you have to take into account that we have a lot of new Tensil employees as well, which have been not in the Q1 2014. So all overall, you see we have improved our OPEX compared to the volume increase. Going now to page 12. A little bit about the balance sheet and also the net debt and the financials. What you see on the left-hand side that our liquid assets is 280 million, so same level as the end of year 2014. So we were managing the cash flow and the cash equivalents, including bill of exchange and including liquid securities, stays with the same level like the end of year 2014, together with our 209 million open credit facilities. We have a liquidity cushion of about 490 million on hand. If we look into the cash flow situation, what already was mentioned, we improved our gross cash flow by 98.8% from 33 million to 63.2 million. We improved our free cash flow by 320% roughly from 6.3 million to 26.5 million. The cash flow from operating activities a little bit slightly 12% less, 42.8 last quarter 1 2014 compared to 37.6 in the quarter 1 2015, caused mainly by increase of inventory a little bit, but also by foreign exchange. Like I mentioned, the pulp evaluation is higher. These effects of the cash flow is resuming in a stable net financial debt, even a slightly increase, so or stays at 450 million. There you see we were also managing our net financial debt in the first quarter. If we look to the balance sheet, we still see that with 1,091 million, we have equity, which gives actually, if we adjust the equity, means including invest grants less the proportion of deferred taxes, gives a quota of 45.4%, slightly improved compared to the year-end result, but also take into account the change in the foreign currency translation reserve led to an increase of the equity, and the change in the hedging reserve, which is a negative one, led to a decrease of the equity. All in total, the increase of equity was higher, so the equation and the equity ratio is better. The same counts then for the net gearing, which we improved from 42% to 40%. So all over financial-wise, also well managed. If we now look in detail on the net debt, you see there, again, the gross cash flow, but in these terms, before interest and taxes, which has significantly improved, and same the change in other working capital. These are the two green columns together with a tax benefit, which we got back of 8.5 million. The negative effects, for sure, we have to pay interest. We also paid cash capex, but a lot of less, very low compared to the previous quarter and compared to the quarter one in 2014. On the other side, as already mentioned, change in trade working capital. So on this, the inventory increased, but also not only on bulk with the foreign exchange effect, but a little bit on sodium sulfate. As you know, we are selling that, but we want to also sell it to a good price, and that's why we have waited a little bit and have more on our inventories, and the same on wood. As you know, we bought a lot of wood also last year, which is now then still on inventory, but we got it to a cheap price. So this gives us for the rest of the year also a kind of backwind. But in the moment, the inventory is higher. In terms of bank drafts, a little bit higher as well. Liabilities decreased, but also accounts receivables increased. The other effect is reclassification of cash, mainly coming out of Dolan and ECF, where we had more cash out than cash in. And last is the currency translation effect. Don't mix it up. This has nothing to do with the hedging. This is really the change of the rates of translation of foreign currency result in foreign companies, in our daughter companies, which is then converted and translated into euro. So there is an impact of 12.9%, a negative impact. So this is leading us then to the same, exactly the same net debt as the end of year 2014. Page 14, there you see, because everybody is asking us and estimating a huge backwind of our currency effect, there you see a split off of all the FX and also the hedging effects. One I already mentioned on the revenue side, the 24 million negative hedging effect on the revenue. We also have a negative hedging on the other operating income, but this is more than compensated by the positive FX effect of the not hedged currency net exposure. So there you see then in total a 10 million plus, which equals then on an EBITDA effect of 14 million in terms of currency effect. So you still see in the quarter one a negative impact of the currency, but for sure over the quarters this hedging effect will be blown out, and then we have the full impact on currency in quarter three and in quarter four. On the net income, the only difference is out of the financial result, because also in the financial result is a part of the hedging effect, currency effect, sorry, currency effect, which is 2.7 positively, so which is leading us in the net income to an FX effect of -11.2. If we go then lower to the other comprehensive income, there you also have to look into two lines. One line is the foreign currency translation reserve. This is what I said, this is really the results of our daughter companies in their local currency, translated into the group currency euro. There we have an impact of 43.7, and the other effect is the hedging reserve. This hedging reserve has two effects. One is the reclassification. This was 24.4 million, and the other is really building on new reserve for the upcoming hedges, which is 42.9%. This equals then into a -18.5 million effect on the other comprehensive income. I hope this gives you a transparency where in the balance sheet and also where in our results you are finding the positive and negative currency effects. After this page, going forward to the page 15, still focusing on our excellence cost saving programs. As we have mentioned, positive result in Q1 due to the effect of better product mix, better price mix, but also improvement on cost level. We are heading forward to really achieve by the end of the year 160 million recurring effects compared to the year 2013. This means only in the year 2015, another 42 million effect on our EBITDA. Means if the prices stay where they are, and means also if the currency stays where it is. So far from my side concerning the cost savings. Last time for Peter, I would ask you to give the outlook, please.
I'm putting the level for my colleagues very high with this outlook. No doubt. We definitely, of course, barring that there are any geopolitical issues or other rough issues, we will see a further improvement on our KPIs, particularly on EBITDA and EBIT in a still, and that we should not forget, tough pricing environment, because you know that we had to reduce prices by, I would say, viscose prices by almost 0.10 in the period of November, December, January, and just did our level best now to recover a part of that. Nevertheless, to be clear again and again, MMC stays in an attractive market with 4%-6% growth, so much above GDP. We see volume demand, even if we have seen only a 2% increase last year, and still quite, I would say, ambivalent environment, as Robert told you, in China and in other markets. Volume demand for Lenzing fibers is increasing. Whether the price increase we particularly have seen the last two months is sustainable, you will see only then or when you talk again with my colleagues in August on the first half. Nevertheless, independently on that, with these very strong marketing campaigns, business development, and all the TENCEL initiatives Robert told you, we see a significant improvement anyway in Modal and in our TENCEL sales and in our Tencel mix, and therefore also in our Tencel net prices, and that's most important. Value before volume. You realize that since the last 2 years, actually, we are not investing in anymore in viscose. Even if we are, I would say, selecting special viscose markets as specialty viscose markets and are investing there, like low denier, like spandite fibers, and I'm sure that in August, Robert can tell you already more about this specialty viscose initiatives. Volume, as I mentioned, in a still particular tough pricing environment is not high priority. It's getting an improving loyalty to customers, stickiness to customers, and bringing even more value to customers, and by that, of course, also at the end of the day, more value and more better results for Lenzing. So we stay focused on R&D, we stay focused on business development, and further pushing and pulling with the retail on Tencel initiatives and Modal initiatives and on that specialties, which, as Thomas told you, are now more than 41% on sales, bringing much more than 50% of EBITDA. So the financial targets are clear. Low CapEx, there is no special project or investment on the horizon and in the pipeline. That means CapEx at around 100 million. By June, by September, we are finishing our rebuild of a Modal line, which is for this year the biggest investment of all. So that's relatively small. Cash flow management, Thomas also told you, and we are trying. It's not easy because we are having 35,000 tons more of tensile fibers to come down a little bit on our trading working capital, but with somewhat increased prices, with a somewhat increased specialty percentage, we need more working capital, we need more stock of pulp and chemicals and so on. So what's really making a very, very good results is excellence. We are heading towards the 160, much more than last year, and we, on several of these cost-saving initiatives, we will have the full effect for this year. That's also important to notice. And so, of course, the 160 include a lot of one-offs, which we didn't have last year, but one-offs which we have maybe for half a year this year, or 12 months, or even 18 months. You know, the target is 160 structurally, so we are working hard on that. We are going to see that next year, plus maybe one-offs. So we are very, very confident that by end of the year we will make that definitely with 160 run rate. So all in all, I would say quite good environment. Very likely a better second quarter and even maybe a second half. Thank you very much. This was my last investor call now with my colleagues and with Lenzing. I thank you very much for your loyalty, for your support, and that you are always with us and with Lenzing. Many thanks. And now I ask you for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to move yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to one question only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Stephanie Jens. Couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on pricing, I would just like more color on what's really making this post-Chinese New Year period different to the last ones. I mean, isn't it very normal that prices pick up a bit? And you mentioned yourself it's mainly trying to recover the 10 cents that you've lost before. So we're at 12,500 to, I guess, more range. So what really makes you more confident that this could go higher? Is it that customers accept the price increases easier, or what is the situation? And then also related to that, what's really going to prevent Chinese suppliers to bring up mothballed or closed or maintained capacities in the near term? Thanks.
Okay. Well, I think your point is right, except for saying that we are more confident. We are not more confident. I think Peter mentioned also in Outlook that we are really concerned, and we believe that the price increase is still questionable to be sustainable. The point that you raised earlier about the potential that the Chinese are going to restart some production definitely exists. That's why we remain cautious. What we do see that is different than what we've seen in the previous years is that the strict environmental legislation that has already always been in place in China is now being reinforced in certain areas. So we are at this moment informed that several of our competitors have either reduced or shut down lines in order to meet with our environmental laws. To what extent they can start up quite easily, to what extent they can make the necessary investments, and by when is currently being evaluated. But there is definitely a certain amount of capacity that's taken out of the market. What also worries us is that the price increases that we see at this moment at the staple level cannot be passed on as yarn. So when we talk to several of our customers, they accept the price increases right now short term, but they really got a hard time passing these price increases on in their viscose, specifically viscose yarns, because of the still relatively low-cost polyester yarns that are in the market. I mean, the fact that you see a price increase in the last couple of weeks of polyester is good, but, I mean, there's still quite a lot of polyester yarns in the trade that is relatively cheap. So we are optimistic and aggressively pushing the prices as the demand is there, but we're still very cautious to say that this demand is at these high prices is sustainable.
Okay, and I mean that's a very important point. Do you think that your customers can actually increasingly pass the increased viscose cost on or is that hard to say?
Well, at this moment they all complain they cannot. So, but they still buy from us. So, from that perspective, we need to see how it goes. They all still believe that viscose is a very essential part of their portfolio. But they also see that some of the fast fashions, like women's blouses, are switching more towards polyester, even in certain applications in like denim. There are even some blends with polyester coming in right now to have a lower price offering. This is not affecting the specialty applications like Modal or Tencel. This is really affecting the viscose. So that's why we are still cautious about the sustainability of the price increase.
Okay, and a second one would be on the FX hedging. My question would be, since when you're doing it in that scale, I mean, the impacts are quite negative. You've locked in at somewhere at 128 to 122. So my question is, have you also locked in the very high US dollar levels at the moment, like close to parity? And if not, then I guess I'm correct in assuming that you'll not get the full benefit of the currency move in September when you look at 114 and trending lower at the moment.
Yeah, what you have to take into consideration there is a couple of effects. First of all, in our hedging strategies, clearly we have three-thirds strategies. So one was really hedged with the very high price at September when we did the budget, where still the exchange rate US dollar euro was 1.30. So that's why we also have an effect already, and a high effect, because this is really 1/3 of our net exposure. The second third is mainly done then in October, November, December, always these months for 12 months rolling. So if you remember, there was still 1.21 euro at the end of the year 2014. So still till the end of, if you rolled it now 12 months before or ahead, then you see also that even in September we will have a portion fixed with the 1.21 instead of whatever is then the daily currency rate. Let's assume it's 1.11 or 1.12, then you will still have an effect on that in September. Yes, you are right. It will not be all rolled out. Is clear. On the other hand, like I explained, the other not hedged effect was 24 million, so a positive effect in the SPAs, in the other costs. So
yeah.
There you see if you take a full quarter. But
okay.
Also don't calculate only the quarter one hedging effects for all three quarters, because in the first quarter what you do mathematically, even if we have only 1/3 hedged, this 1/3 is immediately addressed to whatever in the balance sheet is the overall amount of receivable versus liabilities. So you see there that even if we have only 1/3, this 1/3 is addressed in the first quarter to 100% in the hedging, because you have to reevaluate everything. And there was at the end of March, I guess it was even 1.08. So we had to reevaluate the 100% of the hedge, even if there were only accounts receivables in the first months much lower. Do you got this point?
Yeah,
that
okay.
You address everything, even if it's normally to be spread over all the quarters. So the quarter one effect is the highest one. In quarter two and three, we will have lower effects, but still having effects. And only the quarter four, if the currency stays like it is, can then be fully beneficiary on ours.
Yeah,
because
okay,
we are still now hedging 1/3 with the rolling forecast with the low price. So that means when the dollar even gets weaker, then we have on top a benefit. Because
okay.
We are hedging also 1/3 now, but now with a far lower amount than what we had in the past.
Okay, so when we approach September, the hedging losses will likely diminish, maybe turn into hedging profits, but you'll lose.
Yeah, not yeah, probably profit.
But then you'll lose out on the translation if we say the dollar depreciates further.
Yeah, they're heavily clear. If the dollar gets weaker,
yeah.
Whatever, then this translation effect from the foreign currencies. Results, they are then also less. So this what you see in the other comprehensive income with the 43.7 million will then get lower, for sure. But only if currency, US dollar gets weaker.
That's fair. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, Stephanie. A question from my side. Zooming in now on Q1 and stripping out basically this hedging effect and just looking at the underlying average selling price, which would be one spot 68 per kilo. Could you give us an indication now with April already showing a decent improvement in prices, what your average selling price has been for April, that we can basically figure out with the sensitivity you provided us historically, that with the 1 cent change in average selling price having a roughly 9 to 10 million impact on EBITDA? Because it seems that if we look at the Q1 EBITDA and also then particularly on the gross cash flow, which you show before taxes and interest, that there are, in my point of view, and also due to the lower other fiber segment sales, which have been usually around 60 or 65 million and now 40 million, there are significant or some indications to me that the EBITDA underlying in Q1 could have been easily around 80, 85 million. And with Q1 being the seasonally weakest quarter and Q2, Q3, particularly Q4, then the strong quarters ahead, we should see now going forward a strong improvement in earnings, of course, assuming that everything, prices and Forex, stays as it is now.
Well, I think detailed analysis. I will not go into the details about the individual prices. As you know, I'm trying to move away from having prices per product.
But it's not by per product, but if we had 168 average selling price in Q1 pre-hedges, what was the April price, or what are is the indication for May? Because I mean the contracts are usually made a month in advance, so you basically should know the May price already, so that we can get a feel. I mean, you get the sales mix improvement further up, and I mean, to me it easily should be around 175, 178. Is that a realistic assumption?
Well, the price after hedging, the effective price, as Herr Riegler said, is 158, not the 168, is 158.
Yeah, the pre-hedging is 168.
Yeah, exactly. And that indeed will go up. What you have to also understand is that when you look at the product mix, as Herr Riegler reported, I mean, in general, we remain sold out. Roughly 22% of our capacity is TenCell. We sold 25%. Viscose, we have 66% of our capacity, and we only sold 59%. So the Chinese New Year, of course, had mainly an impact on the viscose. So therefore, we had a slightly favorable product mix in the first quarter. We will be selling relatively more viscose in the second quarter, as some of the inventories will of viscose that we build up in the first quarter will be sold off. So you get a slightly negative product mix. So at the same time, also as Untersberger said, we are trying to upgrade our viscose, where we in the second quarter should see the first, very small still, but the first initial result of how we can sell the spun-dyed viscose as well as the lower destex viscose, specifically spun-dyed, where we've just made a batch and we're trying to sell it. Where we are trying to see how much premium we can get for that. So right now we are really trying to focus on higher end applications for TenCell. So we are pushing with price increases there. We are seeing a little bit of positive impact on viscose, but as the bulk of the viscose in the second quarter will be a little bit over average, the mix will therefore be a little bit against us. So we will not see that big positive increase as you described.
Yeah, no. It was just under assumption that we phase out the hedging effects that is still there. It's just about, okay, if the environment stays like that, what would be the potential in Q4 then, and particularly in 2016, I don't understand some parts. For example, would you, and it's more directed towards the CFO now, that if we have a gross cash flow of 75 million and an EBITDA of 60 million, was there some provisioning in the first quarter is basically understating the EBITDA. Is that possible?
No, no. If you read through, you will say there's only slightly change on provision. The only provisioning was were for the Lenzing Technik, but nothing else done on this level on the balance sheet.
Okay, and the lower other byproduct sales that were 43 million in the first quarter, can we expect that this has been just shifted to the second and third quarter, that this basically lost 20 million would come back then in the remainder of the year?
A little bit, like I mentioned, sodium sulfate, because we have not sold it in the first quarter, and that's why we have it on our inventory. But this is not a lot, and you also know on the other side, everything what we produce there, we have also to sell quickly, because otherwise we have even to take money in our hands for wastewater treatment. So this is even not a positive effect then.
Okay, and I mean, have we seen now the peak in the working capital? Does the swing now year over year? I understand that part of that is related to the factoring that was made last year in the first quarter, but with now this minus 57 million, do you think is this the maximum swing for the year, or do you expect in the next couple of quarters a further cash out in trading working capital?
Like I mentioned, one effect is for sure the working capital of Denzel, because you know we need also working capital for the new plant, which was definitely not in the last year, at least the first two quarters not in. And second, driven extremely by the foreign currency effect, because like we are buying only our pipe in US dollar, but we have to translate it then actually in euro in our group currency. And this is for sure affecting there, this part of the working capital. And since you also know that whenever we have close or shut down for maintenance in some of the lines, we have to pre-produce also fiber and pre-produce or let's say getting chemicals into our inventory, which for sure can have for the certain days even a higher number of working capital. But as also Peter mentioned, we are working hardly so that at the end of the day, till the end of this year, this should have been, if nothing changed, the peak.
Okay, and the sale of Dolan is also not included, this 22 million yet in the net debt escape, right? That should be.
No, but we have mentioned that it will, but only a net effect of what I also mentioned, depending on the earn out, because there's also not depending there between 5 to 7 million impact on the result side. For cash, yeah, for sure. If we get the cash, then it will be also in our bridge.
So we could suspect that by August, by the half year, we see net debt around 400.
No, because as you also know, we have to pay more interest, because we have also a new, we have to pay the dividend in the second quarter, 26 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget this. And second, also, as you know, the private placement, we also have a higher. Yeah, but you also pay some interest for that.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Okay.
Slightly, but you pay. Yeah, for sure we should improve our net debt. No doubt about that, for sure we will improve.
And the next question comes from the line of Bernd Maurer of Raiffeisen Centrobank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I want to come back to the previous question of my colleague on the lower other fiber sales of now 43 million, including including pulp, wood, and Mr. Riegler, you mentioned now, or you explained it, were lower sodium sales. I don't think that this would explain a 20 million lower sales figure than, let's say, the average was in the last couple of quarters. Is what I'm want to get out if is the 43 million more or less a new kind of run rate, or was there were there any special effects included in Q1, and we should return to the 60 million plus our sales figure in this line for the coming quarters? That's point one. Point two is I'm asking you also again on the price increases you mentioned you have introduced with the beginning of the second quarter. I'm asking you, is the price increase on average more or less in line with the overall uptick of viscose fiber prices, or can you state it's a bit higher, it's a bit less? And finally, point three is could you give an update on your plans you have for potential capacity adjustment of viscose capacities in China? Those are my three questions.
May I start with the third question?
Yes, please.
Same as we told you in March and in April, we are considering any and each option in China, surely affecting our spectrum of options is definitely also price increases, but still, at least in the case of LNF, such kind of price increases have not yet impacted the EBITDA or the net income position greatly. Second question, and this is also referring a little bit back to the question Stefan had on to Robert. The assumptions you made are not wrong. Of course, if prices, viscose prices have increased now, let's say, and you can follow that, therefore it's no secret, 1,200 renminbi, so that's about 15 to 20 cents, take it what it is. 10 cents, as Robert mentioned, was just to recover the losses of this fourth quarter, November, December, January. 10 cents is an additional increase now coming end of March, seeing it the last 6 weeks. So by definition, it doesn't have any impact on the first quarter. All these increase from 161 pre-hedging to 168 is a mix. It's a dollar effect improvement before hedging. Yeah.
Okay.
And somewhat, and of course, as we also guided you, a much better mix on Tencel has an immediate impact on prices, and therefore also, I would say, some cents, 2-3 cents are coming from Tencel increase. The really increase you will see, and I'm talking now only for second quarter, mm-hmm. not for the second half. You will see something still in the first half, means therefore in the second quarter.
Okay, thank you for this. And one is open.
Yeah, actually, this was a weaker quarter in sales. Like I mentioned, we have more inventory of sodium sulfate and also taking their hedging effects into account. And we have not sold any external pulp or wood in the first quarter.
Okay, so we can assume that, let's say, the quarterly run rate of last year, beside or excluding FX effects, is still an assumption for 2015 going onwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Franz Hörl of Erste Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good afternoon. Well, that's also what I calculated, this lower line of byproduct sales. I believe this, just want to confirm, this includes the whole 24 million in hedging, negative contribution of hedging on sales, on revenues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that explains practically the difference already. Secondly, I mean, we touched already many of my questions. On price increases, We've seen this strong move up recently. Move has been some 15 to 20 cents, as you said, more like 20 cents in US dollar. As per when and how much do you think you can increase prices?
Well, we are increasing prices. There are several agreements, of course, in place. When you look at applications like nonwovens, it's not as flexible. You often have prices that are fixed on a monthly basis. Also, some big Chinese customers, there's only one big shipment a month where therefore you can increase price for the next shipment, but it has only an impact on a month. So we will not see the full impact there yet, and the price increases that we are introducing as we speak will therefore only have an effect in the next couple of weeks. So that there is a certain delay factor in these areas. There's a bulk of customers where we have really weekly prices, and those prices indeed are being aligned with, on average, still a fairly healthy premium over the published prices in China. So we are moving with the market on the standard visco side. Where we see issues is on the more specialty products. When you look at Tencel, the specialty products like Tencel LF or Tencel A100, which have higher prices, because of the very competitive environment, it's more difficult for our customers to justify these significant premiums. So they are still pushing Tencel, but it's mainly the standard Tencel, the basic Tencel that we are making. So with the marketing, we're really trying to increase the demand to show that an A100 and an LF are higher value products. But in the end, when it comes down to price, certain retailers or brands are not willing to pay the premium for that. So we are aggressive on prices. We are quite aggressive on prices at this moment in Turkey and in China. We see a much more challenge on price increases in markets like Korea or Indonesia. So therefore, it's also there a little bit more difficult to generalize. But overall, you know, also as Peter said, the price moves we are making today will become visible in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have expected it, the whole effect in the second quarter. Anyway, there is always a delay. And also very clear what you said about the specialties pricing. If you want to increase applications and get customers acquainted with this product, I guess still the quality of applications are moving up. So there is within Tencel an improvement of mix over the next quarters, right?
Tencel and definitely also visco. So we did talk about spun dyed. The process is quite simple. That you produce a few hundred tons lot, then you sample that a little bit. This is also coming back to our working capital question a little bit earlier. The more specialties we have, the more we need to produce in batch processes. So therefore, there will be some as we will sell more specialties, we will have to anticipate some further increases in working capital. But I mean, they will not be that big because these are niche products. But in the case of the spun dyed in Asia, we ran a batch. Right now we are sampling. The customers evaluate it. This takes several weeks, and then the orders will come in. So the qualification of a new product like this can easily take 3 months. So we will have a better insight, as Peter mentioned, by August, if this product is acceptable, if the price premium we are aiming for will be achieved, and what the volume potential of a specialty viscose in this case will be.
My final question, wouldn't it be time now to decide on additional capacities of Tencel and also to convert more capacities into Modal or even build new capacities for Modal, depending on geography?
Well, I told at the introduction that we are working, or at the outlook, we are working on a rebuild of a Modal line.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives the basics to
That's
decide maybe.
Quite small, though, you said, right?
Yes, because a new Modal line is prohibitive expensive, and we always managed to debottleneck existing Modal lines here in Lansing, because you know we are doing Modal only here in Lansing, and of course you can imagine we checked and we calculated Modal lines everywhere, And at the end of the day, it was always the cheapest way to debottleneck by 5,000 or 10,000 tons, also with new technology and new developments. You also know that just putting up or rebuilding, for instance, an 80,000 tons viscose line takes away 50% of capacity, so you only can produce 40,000 tons of Modal. And well, the last 2-3 years, even on the Modal, we lost a lot of contribution, which we are now recouping and recovering month by month and quarter by quarter. So, and at the end of the day, this is a strategic question. We do not want to commoditize and to commoditize Modal and to scale Modal. We want to keep Modal as a premium product, as a premium price, at a premium profit, and that's more important than having 50,000 tons more Modal, and everybody gets it.
Yeah, but exactly that. Talking about Hensel, wouldn't it be wise to put Hensel in a much more to scaling Hensel much more than also in the future? I mean, you've seen this additional 67,000 tons, they were very fast received by the markets. And I guess, it takes a while until a new plant or even new lines can be built up. So when do you plan to start building new capacities for Tencel?
That's a good question. I leave that to my successors. Even 4 months ago, analysts were writing, are you sure that you can sell the 67,000 tons? And we said, yes, we are absolutely sure. And even here internally, there were questions, are you really sure that you can do? Yes, we have been absolutely sure. So give us a little bit of time, give us a little bit of maneuvering space. We are now even less than 1 year in the production. In July, it is 1 year. The plant is running absolutely fine, better and better quality, better and better customers, better and better products, and therefore better EBITDA quality are coming from that line. Now, Robert will not specialize the line, but will bottom slice the full capacity, and then I would say 6 months, 12 months from now. As you know, in our midterm plan, we have a scaling of Tencel on the screen. Of course, we are thinking about whether it's US or whether it's Austria or whether it's China. We will see depending on the market development.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
The next question comes from Christian Weitz of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One question regarding the other operating income. Did I get it right that in this 20 million, the hedging fees are included? First and second, can you maybe give us a slight outlook on raw materials evolution that you expect in the second half? And then lastly, when I look at the CapEx that you predict for 2015, we'll see an acceleration in the remainder of the year. And the question is, what will that be mainly for? And is this 100 million the run rate that we should use also for the upcoming years, also against the background of what we've been discussing with regards to capacity increases?
Your first question, I couldn't hear you quite well. What did you say on the other comprehensive income? What should be included or not included?
The gains from hedging.
Yes, in the other operating income, this 10 million which you see on page 14.
Yeah, just wanted to confirm this. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Confirmed. This is including the losses of the hedging of hedging in the other operating income, plus the positive effect of currency also in the other operating income. So this is a net figure, the 10 million plus, which actually has a minus on hedging and a plus on FX effect.
Okay, great. Thank you. And what about the outlook on raw materials for the second half?
Raw material, especially compared to last year, as I said, carbon disulfide and also caustic soda increased. So as you see, just quarter over quarter, this will stay the same because there is no, especially if you look into our Indonesian prices, they are going still up. The others will be flat to quarter one.
Okay, and then lastly on the CapEx.
Yeah, CapEx, 100 million is a good run rate as long as we are in the saving mode, like we said. And you also know we need CapEx to have our installed place maintained. So this is also, let's say, 60% out of this 100 million what we need there. But for sure, the main question is where do we set the priorities in terms of the future capacity increase or also R&D projects and product developments.
Okay, but maybe again, these 100 million is also the number or the amount valid for 2015, right?
Yes.
Okay, and okay. It's just because, I mean, if I look at these 11 million in the first quarter, I mean, this is extremely low in other words, and that's the reason why I ask again what number we should assume. So we're going to see a pretty steep acceleration in the next three quarters and also for next year, right?
Yeah, as said, whenever we have a shutdown, we also do the maintenance, and then we are spending this money, the CapEx money. So this is also, and mainly in summer and in other periods, we have these shutdowns, and there we put this CapEx in.
Okay, and then maybe coming back to one of the questions that came in earlier regarding the net debt. Against this background, net debt, also taking into account the dividend that you're going to pay and the higher interest. So we're going to see a slight decrease, but not really a dramatic reduction in their debt, right?
A slight decrease, but all over the year there should be an improvement if you take all the three upcoming quarters.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the final question comes from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm sorry. Just a couple of follow-ups. Firstly, on pulp, you elaborated on the squeeze. You know, so pulp, I guess, same with paper pulp. It's quoted in dollars on a global basis. So why not actually increase your integration on the dissolving wood pulp? When I last heard Sappi the Sappi CEO on a conference, he said that actually. Some of the capacitors are switching back to paper pulp, so I guess we've seen the bottom. And also when you look at the dollar development, I guess if it stays somewhere in that strong territory, then wouldn't it make sense to increase further in terms of pulp integration? And lastly, on the quality issues you've mentioned, it's not something that we have heard a lot in the last couple of years, so what's happening there?
Let me start with the quality. I think we must be aware, and I think you are particularly analysts following us the last couple of years, the Chinese are not sleeping, and the dragon, Chinese dragon, is very, very smart, and also the Indian tiger is very smart, and they are getting smarter and smarter, and the difference in quality, the difference in R&D, the difference in business development, in marketing. They are looking and they are copying, and we also have to realize that sometimes they are also developing something where we are looking. So the quality difference is getting smaller and smaller. And in for us to increase one percentage after the other, to make the next step is getting more, not only money-wise, more expensive, but also from the technology, from the input, from the brain necessary, more and more difficult.
Yeah.
And therefore, we are putting more and more emphasis in really agreement and input from the sales in or from the production into new developments as early as possible to understand customer needs, not only from the sales part but also from the production. And that is where we work. We are trying to get even more sticky customer relationships, so that on the Novum side as well as on the Dextral side. But we have to realize that our biggest market, just single market, is China, and these guys are very, very smart and are not only developing for the export market. They are developing mostly for the Chinese market. So quality awareness, the reduction of low grade quality, the consistency of quality, that is what counts. And with respect to pulp, if the SAPI CEO is saying that, he talks out of experience, because just SAPI has switched back a part of their Cloquet plant to paper pulp, because the viscose pulp price is not anymore 1,200 and not 1,000, it is $800, and it came down the last 12 months by almost 9%. But that's one thing. That depends on wood cost, that depends on energy cost, that depends on logistics, and the one plant may be more suitable located, more suitably located than the other. With respect to Lansing, of course, the question was on Tencel. If we are scaling up, we have to look into the option. Yep. Of maybe increasing our integration ratio, because we don't want to be too much dependent on that very, very specific specification on Tencel pulp. This is a very, very sophisticated, sensitive quality, and that's the reason, as you also know, that we are trying to improve our portion of Tencel suitable pulp out of Fascov. And we're putting a lot of money into R&D on that to manage that. Was not the original plan, but we want to work on that.
Okay, thanks.
Excuse me, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you may wish to raise.
Okay. If there are no further questions, I would like to thank you very much in the name of my colleagues, and thank you very much for this participation on this very interesting first quarter call. Many thanks, and have a good day and a good week. Bye-bye.